We begin the new Masecht, Masechtas Nazir. We begin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph with the first parak Masechtas Nazir, parak called Kinui Naziris. Now this Masecht talks about someone that becomes a Nazir or a Nazira, where it's a parash in the Torah in Sefer Bamidbar, parak Vav, that talks about a person that becomes a Nazir is forbidden to partake of any thing that's derivative from the grape skin, the grape seed, and wine. One is forbidden to cut their hair. And moreover, they're forbidden to come in contact with a source of tumah. Now, our Mishnah begins with the same way that Masechtas Nedarim begins, which is that there are many different ways, besides the primary way of becoming a Nazir by saying that Hareini Nazir, I'm a Nazir, there are two other ways that a person could become a Nazir. And the Mishnah begins. The Mishnah says, Kol Kinuyi Naziris. Any, which literally is defined like the nickname of Nazir, meaning anything that's not the primary name is called a kinoi, like someone gives a nickname to someone, it's called a machana shem l'chaveroi. So if someone uses a deviation of the primary word for Naziris, as the Mishnah will delineate some examples of that, so that's kinaziris. That's the same thing as accepting upon oneself as a Nazir, and therefore one will have all the halachas of a Nazir. Now the Mishnah continues, and as the Rosh explains, The Mishnah is not explaining now what are examples of Kinui Naziris. Rather, it's coming to explain what are the category of the other one, which is Yadois, which are a handles for a nether. Meaning, the reason why it's called a Yad is just like if someone wants to lift a cup. You could lift the entire cup by just lifting the handle, that, and then you'll get the whole cup with that. The same thing is also regarding what's a Yad for a nether or Naziris, which Naziris is under the category of taking a nether, where you're not really making the neder of Naziris, you're just saying partial a statement of the neder, which the Gemara and elsewhere explained from the Pesukim, that's included in the halacha of making as if one said the whole Naziris or neder. So now the Mishnah will explain examples of Yadis, which the Gemara will explain that it's missing in the Mishnah, and it should say not just that this Kol Kinui Naziris are Kinaziris, which we'll explain shortly examples of that too, but it should have said also that Kol Yadis Naziris Kinaziris. That also there's another way to become a Nazir, besides using different terminologies than Hareini Nazir, which are Kinuyim, but also Yadis, if you say just a partial statement, which it's indicative from what you're saying that you mean to say the whole sentence, you just didn't say that, that will be as if you said the whole thing and you'll become a Nazir too. How so? Ha'imer ehe. Someone say, I shall be. Harezi Nazir. So the person, he didn't say, ehe Nazir, he just said, I shall be. So Harezi Nazir, that's considered a yad, a partial statement of what the full sentence would have been. So therefore the person becomes a Nazir. Oy ehe no. Or if someone says, I shall be beautiful, Nazir. Again, the person will be considered a Nazir. Now, this is also an example of a yad. And actually, as the Rosh points out, it's actually worse than the case of when someone just says ehei, meaning without the word na. Actually, adding on the word na is a more of a chiddush. It's actually less of a reason to think that it's going to be considered like an acceptance of Naziris. And the reason being is because, as the Gemara will explain, the case of ehei, that someone says, I shall be, just saying I shall be, who knows what that means, it's talking about that a Nazir is walking by. Nazir is walking by, it's like, ehei, I shall be. Now, the understanding of his words sound more that he wants to be a Nazir than when he says, Ehino, that I should be beautiful. Because when you say, Ehino, I should be beautiful, so then actually there, as we're going to explain in the Gemara, it doesn't help that a Nazir is walking by. Because it's just, we have to define what does the wording mean. Forget about the intention of the person, is Kavana, the context. No, it's based on how do we define. What does it mean when someone says, I shall be beautiful? Because that can mean also, I shall be beautiful in my performance of mitzvahs. Now there actually, as the Gemara will explain, you need to have specifically, it's not enough with just a Nazir walking by. You actually have to have, when he says, I'm going to be beautiful, him holding his hair. Where there, it's clearly then indicative that he means to say, and with my hair I'll be beautiful, meaning I'm going to grow it long, which means I'm going to be a Nazir or a Nazira. And therefore the Rosh says that the Mishnah is in the way of what's called loizu avzu, meaning not only is a hey considered a yad, but even the bigger chiddush is when you say a hey no, which is even less of a yad. Because a hey no, you can be beautiful, even the Nazir is walking by, what does those words mean? It can mean beautiful in performance of mitzvahs, and therefore it would have to be when you're holding on to the hair, which is requires more support in its being a yad, than the case of just being a hey. And actually, with this point, the Rosh actually explains what would be difficult, because why does the Mishnah separate the two examples, like we're going to say by Kinuyim, it doesn't separate it. Why does it say the two examples of Yad it says Ha'im Erhei Harezeh Nazir, and then it says, if someone says Ehei Na, then it's a Nazir. Why doesn't it just put it together? Should it just said Ha'im Erhei Oy Erhei Na Harezeh Nazir? So the Rosh says exactly for this point, because actually these two cases are different contexts. The first case is talking about when you say Ehei, you're a Nazir, and it's considered Yad only because a Nazir is walking by in front of you. The Sefer, the case of Ehei Na, is a different halacha. It can be considered Yad, not because the Nazir is walking by, but rather, as we said, that wouldn't even work for Ehei Na, it's because he's holding on to his hair. So therefore, since it's two different halachas, although they're two examples of Yad, it's said separately that Ehei is Harezeh Nazir, and Ehei Na is also considered Nazir. So those are examples of Yadis Naziris Kenaziris. Now the Mishnah explains, Nazik, Naziach, Paziach, if someone says those terms, those are explaining what the Mishnah opened up with. They're considered kinuyin naziris because they're very similar to the word of nazir, which is nazik, naziach, paziach, a little bit different. So harezin nazir. So then, as the Gemara Masechtas Nedarim explains, what's the understanding, and we'll allude to this later on about what's the source. Why is the kinu considered like the naziris itself? But it's that those words are incorporated in the same connotation, that they mean to say nazir, it's a deviation of the primary word, which is what a kinu is, and therefore just like kinu naziris are kinaziris, these are included in that category, and therefore by just saying these words, a person will become a nazir. Now the Mishnah concludes with the following cases. Hareini kizev, someone says, I shall be like this. Or hareini misalsel, which literally means to say, I will be turning. Or hareini mechalchel, I'll be mechalchel, as we'll see what does that word mean. Someone says, it's incumbent upon me to grow my tresses, meaning to have the hair grow long. So regarding all these cases, Harezeh Nazir, he has the halachic status of a Nazir. Now, someone says, it's incumbent upon me to bring birds. So Rameyah a Nazir, he says, that is enough to make the person consider that he's a Nazir. However, the Chacham say that he's not going to be a Nazir. In all these cases of that mission that we just described, the Gemara is going to explain, where do we see over here, in the context of Yad, where do we see that you're trying to say that you want to be a Nazir, that will give you the halachic status of a Nazir, and like in the last case where Harel Tzipayim is a Machlekes Rameh HaChacham, if that will be considered like an acceptance of Naziris or not. But first the Gemara asks a primary question regarding this whole Masechta. Mechti, let's see. Tana B'Seder Noshim Koi. These Mishnayos that the Gemaras are coming to explain are in the Seder of Noshim. There's what's called Zman Nokat, which is the acronym for Zroi, Moid, Noshim, Nezikin, Kachim, Tyrus. Those are the six different groupings of the tractates of the Masechtas. And we're now in Seder Noshim, which talks about halachas of women, meaning of Kitten, Kedushin, all the different Masechtas that talk about Ksubis, Yavamis, the relationship of women in halacha. Now the question is, my Tamatani Nazir? Why, where does Masechtas Nazir come in to this Seder, to this groupings of these Masechtas? Now, moreover, as the Rosh says, actually it should have been in Seder Kachim, which because of all the Karbanas that we talk about in this Masechta that the Nazir brings, when he's Tahar, when he's Tameh, should have said in Seder Kachim. Now, the Rosh forewarns an important question, and that is, although the Gemara already says in the first Perek Masechta Saita, that it explains why Nazir is here. And then after Masechta Nazir comes Masechta Saita, because the Gemara there explains, wait a second, we already learned Masechtas Ksubis. In Masechtas Ksubis, we learned Perek HaMadir, which talks about Nedarim. So therefore, we then taught Masechtas Nedarim. Then once we taught Masechtas Nedarim, the Gemara explains in the first Perek Masechtas Saita, we taught Masechtas Nazir, because Nazir is very much related. It's actually in the category of Nedarim. And then we learn Masechtas Saita, as we're going to quote this idea shortly, because as Rebbe says, Kalaroi Saita Blakakula, whoever sees the Saita in her disgrace, so Yazir Atzman Ayayin, there's a very close relation between a Saita and a Nazir. So what's the Gemara's question? Why is it here? Of course it's here, because Nedarim is here. Why is Nedarim here? Because of Masechtas Ksubis. So what's the question? So that the Rosh explains that reasoning that the Gemara gives there in the first Perek of Masechtas Saita only works regarding the order of the Masechtas themselves. Now that's only because we already clarified in our Gemara, as we will shortly, that it's fitting for this Masechta in the first place to be in this Seder. I mean, first you got to figure out what's in this Seder, meaning in this order of the six different Seder. Now, once we know what's inside the Seder, then okay, let's figure out the order of those Masechtas. Now, but first we have to figure out, so fine, if Nazir is in this Seder, so it makes sense why it's in that order. Ksubis, and Nadarim, and Nazir, and Saita. But first we have to figure out, A, why is it here in this Seder in the first place? It should have been in like Seder Kachim. Now, the question that the Rosh wonders is, so why in Masechet Nedarim didn't the Gemara ask the same question and explain what is Masechet Nedarim doing in Seder Nashim when a Neder, what is that? That's not specifically regarding women. So the reason is because it's obvious that there is no better place to have Masechet Nedarim than in Seder Nashim. Because in Nedarim it says, Bein Ish LeIshto, Bein Av LeVita, is very much related to the relationship between husband and wife. And that's the halacha that we know as Hafara. So it makes sense why it's in Seder Nashim. But what the Gemara is asking over here is why is Masechet Nazir in this Seder of Nashim? So that the Gemara answers, Tana Krokai. The reason is because the Tana is going on the Psukim. How so? The Pasuk says in Devarim, V'hayim leisin tzachin be'enav, if the woman, the wife, will not find favor in her husband's eyes, why? Ki matza be'ervas davar. He found something about the relational immorality. And that is because most people that divorce, they divorce over things related to their intimate relationship that she was unfaithful. Now, when a woman is unfaithful because of a rayus, that should be the impetus and the obligation of the person to make himself into a nazir. And that is because of hachikama. This is what is being said. Mi garm lo lavera, what caused this woman to sin? And that's where we're related to Masechta Saita, sinning. Of the immorality, and moreover to Masechtas Gittin, which is, that's what the Pasuk is talking about, divorcing her, which there are all prominent members of Seder Nashim. Now what causes all that? That's Yayin, that's wine, and that's what V'kama, that's what Yehuda Nasi is saying by putting Masechtas Nazir in over here, Kalaraya Seita Bilkakula, and that's where the Pesukim actually have this relationship too, in the Torah, where it has the Smichas, HaParashias, whoever sees the Seita, which is the suspected adulterous woman in her disgrace, Yazir Atzma Mil Yayin. He should separate himself from wine. And that's why it's fitting for Masechtas Nazir to be here in this Masechta of Seder Nashim, because that's where it comes from when the woman is unfaithful. And okay, and then once we know that it's here, then we said, as it says in the first part of Masechtas Saita, why it's in that order specifically actually before Masechtas Saita, even though it's actually something that's after you see the Saita, because it's comes on the heels of Nedarim, which Nazir is under the category of Nedarim, and Nedarim comes because of Masechtas Ksubas. So now we know why this Masechta is here in this Seder. But the Gemara asks a basic question of the structure of our Mishnah. Problem is, Pasach B'Kinuyin, we open up this Masechta, the first Mishnah, Kol Kinuyin Nazirs K'Nazirs. All the different versions of the word Nazir are like the same thing as if you said Harini Nazir, and then you'll become a Nazir. Question is, Umefarish Yadayis, and then, instead of explaining what is that category, we explain a different halacha. We explain the category of yadis, which are partial statements. Now, as the Rosh points out, actually, Masechet Nedarim, the Gemara asks another question on this, which that Mishnah in the first Mishnah of Masechet Nedarim has a similar difficulty, is that v'su yadis inchi? As it is, the Tana didn't even mention yadis in the first place, and then he's giving examples of it. So on that, Rava says, v'item, and some say it was kadim, which either means a Tana's name or without attribution of who it was. Chesur mechzer mochigitani. You're right, that word's missing in the Mishnah, and this is what it's supposed to say. Kol kenui naziris kenaziris. It opens up, like we said, that all different deviations of the word nazir are like the acceptance of nazir itself. And the yadis naziris kenaziris, and so too, the partial statements of naziris are like taking a naziris itself. And the elohen yadis, and that's what the Mishnah then goes on to say, and these are examples of partial statements. Ha'oimer ehei, someone says that I shall be. Ha'reiz a nazir, then he's going to be a nazir. And also the other case of ehei na, that's he'll be a nazir. But the Gemara asks, fine, okay, so now we understand what weird is yadis come in over here. But velifrish kenui bereisha. But let's explain the one that we opened up with. Let's explain it first. We open up with kenuyim. Obviously, it's the more prominent one we want to talk about. So even though you're adding in words that there's also yadis and naziris, but let's first explain that of kenuyin first. Why do we explain yodis first? So that the Gemara answers, no. Tana mahudis salik. The Tana, from the one that, when we first give all the categories, the one that it ends off with, hahu mefarash bereisha, that's the first one that they go back to explain, which was yodis. Because it's not like we're learning Mishnah Masechet Shabbos. It says, b'meh madlikin u'b'meh madlikin. With what are we allowed to light for the candles on Friday night? And with what are we not allowed to light? Because certain ones that the oil doesn't draw so well and it's going to flicker and it's going to go out. U'mefarash emad likin bereisha. So it says, with what could you light and with what can you not light? The last one mentioned is the first one explained. So too, Masechta Shabbos, it says another Mishnah, b'meh temne, b'meh ein temne. With what are you allowed to insulate food on Friday afternoon, and with what are you not allowed to insulate? Because if it increases heat, you're not allowed to insulate with that. So the last thing mentioned was, ein temnin, umefarsh, ein temnin meration. The first thing that it explains is what you're not allowed to insulate. Again, the last thing mentioned. So to b'may isha yetzeh, b'may ina yetzeh, another Mishnah Masechta the Shabbos says, with what is a woman allowed to go out with on Shabbos, and with what is she not allowed to go out with? Either because it's considered carrying, or afraid she might then come to carry. Umefarsh leisetzeh isha b'reisha. And what is explained first? The last category that it spoke about, which is what she cannot go out with, which is leisetzeh isha, that's the first thing explained. So David, that's the Gemara's answer. You're right. The first thing mentioned was kinuyim, and then yodis. But as we see a pattern, as the Tana in Masechta Shabbos, last thing mentioned is the first thing explained. Now that the Gemara asks, wait a second. But Vatnan, we learned another Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, and I could bring you many rais the other way, that it says b'meh behemi yaitza b'meh inu yaitza. Another Mishnah Masechta Shabbos says that with what is an animal allowed to go out with on Shabbos? What's not considered a masoy, a load on it, but rather as part of the animal? With what is it not allowed to go out with because it's considered carrying, or because it might fall over, it might come to carry. And the first thing it explains is what a camel could go out with, which is the first thing it mentions. So too in Masechta Baba Basra, it talks about that those who inherit and they bequeath, meaning they take and they give. And then there are those, they inherit but they don't give over inheritance to others. They could only bequeath, but they don't inherit, meaning whoever this person, the other party is, it could be either they both get from each other, only one gives, or only one takes, or there's some that don't inherit, and they don't bequeath to that person that they're related to. Now, the first thing it explains is the ratio, the first thing that I mentioned, which is the one who inherits and bequeaths. So what are you answering me to say why I mentioned the others first is because we see that it's always the last thing mentioned that explained first. What do you mean? I'll bring you other Mishnayos, not like that. That the first thing it explains is the first thing mentioned. So, Ela La'ilam, rather, the Gemara says, you're right. Tani hachi b'tani hachi. You're right, it's either way. It's lav davka, it's not necessarily. Sometimes the last thing mentioned is explained first, sometimes the first thing mentioned is explained first. Ela Hasam, it's just that over those three Mishnayos in the Masechta Shabbos that was brought first, that the first thing explained was the last thing mentioned, was the Isur D'Nafshi who Mefarish Isur D'Nafshi B'Reisha, where the thing that was mentioned last was talking about prohibitions on the person himself. What can you light with? What can you insulate with? What can you go out with on Shabbos? So therefore, Mefarish Isur D'Nafshi B'Reisha, therefore the first thing explained is the prohibition that's on the person. But since it's a very stringent thing when you have an own prohibition, what are you allowed to light with? What are you allowed to go out with? So therefore, that's the first thing mentioned. Now, whereas Gabi Behema, regarding when we spoke about with Bama Behema Yitzah, what can an animal go out with? The Isura Aidi Behema Huda Asi, where there the prohibition that the person will be violating is not with his own body, but through his animal, where there's halacha of Shvisa Behemta, your animal cannot do a malacha. But since it's not so stringent, Mefarsha Teberesha, the first thing that it mentions is actually, you're right, the first thing mentioned, because that's talking about Heter, so the criterion is different. In other words, what defines it, since sometimes it could be either one or either or, we have to have a good understanding why is this going to be the first thing explained. So those which we see was the last thing mentioned that was explained first was because those are talking about prohibitions of the person himself. That's very severe. We want to explain that first. Whereas, let's say, regarding a behema, where it wasn't the last thing mentioned explained first. It was the first thing mentioned explained first. Yeah, because the first thing there mentioned was what's permitted. Now, since what the animal is doing is not so severe of a violation, so we're first going to explain what's permitted, which that just happens to be the first thing mentioned. Similarly, as we continue on to Amud Beis, Gabi Yesh Neichle Nami, so too regarding the halachas of inheritance in Masechtas Baba Basra, Mefarsh Ikar Nachla Bereisha. Yes, there we also mention the first thing mentioned. Why there do we pick first? As we said, first or last could go either one. But we have to have a good reason why is it the first thing that we're choosing. There it's the first thing that we're choosing, which is the first halacha mentioned, because of course the primary halacha of inheritance is generally, like father and son, that they inherit and they bequeath. So we understand all the cases that we brought, which again are not defined based on because this was the first thing or last thing mentioned, but rather for other criteria, either because it's Isser B'Navshe, or it's not, or because it's primary. But the question that the Gemara remains with is, Elahacha, but over here in our Masechta, Lifrish Kinuya Bereisha. The first thing that was mentioned, not because it's the first thing mentioned, but because it's the Iker Halacha, like we say by Nachla, is Kinuyin. And if that's the case, that should be the first thing explained. Why do we mention Yadis before Kinuyim? There's no reason to say Yadis before Kinuyim. Other places where we say, even though it was the last thing mentioned, is the first thing explained, yeah, because it was Isser Benafshe in contrast to other things. But here they're both Isser Benafshe, Kinuyin and Yadis. And moreover, like we say by Nachla, what's primary we mention first, so Kinuyin should be mentioned first. Why do we mention Yadis first? So Ela Hainu Tam, rather, the Gemara says the reason why we mention Yadis first is Yadis Hayil Va'asin Le Midrasha. Since the whole halacha of partial statements, that it has the halachic status as the whole statement, is only learned out from a drasha in the Torah, whereas the Gemara explains in the first parak in Masechtas Nedarim, where it says in the pasuk a redundant lashon nazir lahazir, to tell you that the halach of yadis nazirus is like nazirus itself, so chavivin le. So that is more dear to the Tana, because it's a drasha, it's an exposition that we would not have known had we not expounded that. So therefore that's the first thing that we explain. But Kinuyin is not learned out from a drasha. Rather, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Nedarim, either Rabbi Yochanan, like his explanation, or Rish Lakish, like his explanation, where they know it from the halacha, specifically it's in the primary halacha of the Torah of Naziris, not from a drasha per se. So that's why we first say the halacha of Yadis, because it's more dear to us, because it learned out from a drasha. Now, but then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, it's more dear to us, Yadis, so we'll liftach bohim bereisha. Then we should open up the Masechta. The parak shouldn't be called Kol Kinuyin Naziris. It should be called Kol Yadis Naziris Kinaziris. Mention that first, and then mention Kinuyin, and then explain Yadis first, because it's more dear. Why do we open up with Kinuyin then? Said the Gemara answers, Tana Ki Maschana. When the Tana opens up the Halachas, Mascha Be'ikar Karban, he first starts with the primary violation, the primary Halacha of Naziris, meaning which mandates to bring Karbanes, where Kinuy is essentially saying the whole text of Naziris. Now, as we alluded to this before, as it says in Masechtas Nedarim, the reason is like Rabbi Yochanan says that this word Nazik, Naziach, Pazich, these are all non-Hebrew terminologies. But they're words that they mean Nazir in other languages. So it's like saying in English or French or some other language that I'm a Nazir. Of course that's going to work because Naziris and Nedarim and them are Mechaloshim. Or let's say according to Rish Lakish, who says that actually these words are takanas chachamim, where although it's not even saying the real word, but the chacham instituted that these kinuyin, these variations should be like you said, the word nazir. So essentially that's like the nether itself, because the chachamim, the sages, are not less than the agreement of other civilizations that agree that this word should mean nazir. So to the sages are no less than that. So therefore it's like you said, the word nether itself. So that's the ikur karban, that's the ikur kabbalas naziris. But the halacha of Yad, yes, although we have a drush that tells us that you will have the status as if you took the Naziris itself, but it's not the Iker, it's not the primary neder, because in the words that you're saying are not really an acceptance of Naziris, it's just what's called Yad Be'alma, it's just the inferential that that's what you mean to say, and the Torah says, oh, that will be like you took the Naziris. But that's not the primary Naziris itself, so therefore, beyond the actual neder, which is Harini Nazir, the first thing that's mentioned is the Iker Naziris, which is another variation of that word, which is kinuyin. But then when it comes to explain, then it explains the halacha of yadis first, again, because that was learned at midrasha. But when you're saying the categories themselves, you're going to say the ikar karban, which is kinuyin, and then yadis. So in the Mishnah explained regarding the examples of yadis, of partial statements, ha'oimer ehei. Someone says, I shall be, ha'reiz another, he's another. Now the Gemara asks a very basic question, which we already alluded to in our explanation of the Mishnah, Dilma Ehe Betainis Kama. Maybe when he says, I shall be, he means I shall be in a state of fasting, of a Betainis. In other words, there's two parts to this question, like the Rush explains. First of all, how can you make this person who says, I shall be, into a definite Nazir? Meaning, because the Mishnah says he's a Nazir. Now, what that means is, when he finishes Naziris, he has to bring Karbonis, which he brings Karbonis to the Azara. But since you could say that it's maybe he's accepting a Betainis, even if you would say maybe it's a suffix and you would be stringent and say he's a Nazir, but out of doubt you can bring the Karbanis, which might be Chulin, to the Azara. No, actually, even more than that, the Rush says, even a doubtful Nazir, to be stringent, you shouldn't say that. Because since you could say that when he says, I shall be, it means I shall be fasting or I shall be a Nazir, the Gemara tells us later on the Chesamid Aleph that Stam Naziris lahakal. When we come to interpret what does a person mean to say when regarding Naziris, if there's doubt, we say leniently that it's not a Naziris. So therefore the Gemara's question is, how and why should we say that a hey, I shall be, means to say a Nazir when it could just as well be a hey, betainus? So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel answers, he says, you're right. There's another context to this case of I shall be. Kagoyin shayin Nazir Ayvalafana, we're talking about that a Nazir was walking by. And he sees this Nazir with long hair, not drinking any wine, totally removed. He says, wow, I shall be. Now, that's pretty obvious. What's called Yadayim Mechichas, the partial statement, he just couldn't finish up. He's like, wow, if only I was, you know? That's you're indicating what you mean to say. That's a Yad Mechiach. It's indicative. It's proving what you mean to say by the context. And therefore, that's why we say he's a Nazir. Now, that the Gemara asks, Lema Kesav Shmuel Yadayim She'en Mechichas La Having Yadayim? Now, does that infer that the way Shmuel just gave that teretz for the Gemara's question, that he holds that when there's a partial statement, which is not mechiach, it's not proving that it should be that yad, that then it's not a yad? In other words, if Shmuel would hold what's called yidayim she'ena mechichis, that it's a partial statement that could mean this, but it's not guaranteed that that's what he means to say. It's not mechiach, it doesn't prove itself. It could mean something else. If he would hold that it would be considered yidayim, then even if the nazir is now walking in front of him, he should still be considered a Nazir. And the reason being is because although it wouldn't be Yadayim Mechichis then, because when he says I shall be, it could mean I shall be fasting, like the Gemara's question was, but still it should still be at least a Yad, albeit Einim Mechichis, of Naziris, because actually, as the Rosh says, the wording of a hey definitely sounds more like Naziris than the wording regarding fasting. Because when you say a hey, I shall be, you're defining the self, which means to say you're going to change your definition with this, that you're saying you should be, because it's regarding the being of the person. Which means to say that, yes, you're not going to be just a regular person. Now you're going to have a different definition. You're going to be called a Nazir. In contrast to someone that's just fasting, his definition doesn't change. Yes, for he's going to be fasting. And therefore, what the Gemara's question is, it sounds like that Shmuel holds Yadayim she'ena mechichas is not Yadayim. Because if he held that it was Yadayim, then why does he have to answer that the Nazir is walking by? No, the Nazir is not walking by, and he says, I shall be, and you're right. It could mean it's Yadayim she'ena mechichas. It's not clear what the partial statement means. It could mean that I shall be a Nazir or I shall be fasting. But if you held Yadayim she'ena mechichas, have Yadayim, that should be enough. Now, the problem with that is because we learn in the first paragraph of Masechet Kedushin that Shmuel says that Yadayim she'ena mechichas is Yadayim. Because he says, for example, if someone tells a woman, Hariat Mekudeshes, doesn't say Li, or Hariat Meureses, or Hariat Li Intu. And that Shmuel says, even though he didn't say Li, so what do you mean, Hariat Mekudeshes to who? To him? To me? Doesn't say. So it's Yadayim She'en Mechichis. It's definitely a partial statement of what he means to say, but it's not clearly indicative in the thing itself. And still he says, Hariat Mekudeshes. Now that seems to be contradictory from his Halacha over here, that he says it's only going to be considered Naziris if a Nazir is walking by. So now the Gemara answers the follows. Amri, they said that no. Bizman she Nazir oivel afanav. When a Nazir is walking in front of this person who's saying, hey, I shall be, leke lesvuki b'milsachrina, then there's no doubt that it could mean anything else. In other words, as the Rush explains, you're right. Shmuel holds, as we see Masechet Kedushin, that Yadayim she'ena mechichas, a partial statement which is not 100% clear, it could be not, will be considered Yadayim, and it will be considered like you took the neder or the kedushin for whatever it is that possibly is that you're coming to say for. Now, when the Nazir is walking in front, and this is what the Rush explains that the Gemara is transitioning in its answer, it's still not Yadayim mechichas. I mean, you inferred from Shmuel's statement, oh, the Nazir is walking in front, oh, that's so obvious, Yadayim mechichas. Oh, only then he says it's a Yad? When you have mechichas, and when it's not mechichas, then not? No, no, no. The Nazir walking in front is still only a daim she'ena mechichas. It's not obvious that when he says, I shall be, that it means to say he wants to be a Nazir. Now, however, it is at least still more muchach, it's leaning more towards being a Nazir than fasting. And the reason being is because since the Nazir is walking in front, therefore, and this is what the wording of the Gemara means, the way the Rosh is interpreting, leke lesvuki b'mil sachrina. It doesn't mean 100% because it's mechichas. It means that no, we're definitely not going to doubt that it means something else because it definitely is more muchach, it makes more sense if he's saying I shall be, which could either one mean a nazir or a tainis, but it's not just the word ahey. A nazir is walking by, okay, makes more sense. You know, maybe up until now it's 50-50, and now a nazir is walking by, okay. It's 75, 80, whatever it is, it definitely makes more sense, although it's a yadayim she'ein mechichas, but we're not going to doubt that it means the tainis. Now, however, what is inferred of what the Gemara is trying to say is, but let's say if it was 50-50, then we would say, as was mentioned before, oh, it's Safik Nazir, we're not sure if he's saying a Naziris or Tainus, then you're right. Then we would say Lahakal in lenient interpretation, and it would not be Nazir. And therefore, that's what the Gemara says. Avalvadai ain't had Nazir Avalafanda, but definitely if there was no Nazir walking in front, and this will explain why Shmuel had to say, it was told that a Nazir was walking by, Amrina, and then we would say, Dilma Aha, Ahay, but Tainus is coming. Maybe we're saying that I shall be fasting, because then it's an equal Safik. In doubt, what does it mean by I shall be? I shall be fasting or I shall be a nazir, and then actually it wouldn't be a nazir. So therefore, this doesn't refute Shmuel's opinion in Masechtas Kedushin. Yes, the nazir walking by does not take it to the level of Yidayim Mechichas. It would only take it to Yidayim She'ein Mechichas. But it would be enough of Ein Mechichas to not be a Safek HaShakal 50-50. And therefore, as Shmuel says in Masechtas Kedushin, Yidayim She'ein Mechichas, it is a valid yad, and therefore he would be a nazir. But if it would be 50-50, then it wouldn't even be enough as Yadayim She'in Mechichas to be a Yad, because in regards to the context of Allah Chazam Nazir, when it's a 50-50 doubt, then we say Safek Naziris is the Hakal, and then he wouldn't even be a Nazir, even according to Shmuel. That's how the Gemara resolves Shmuel's interpretation of this Halacha of Ha'imer Ahei, specifically when the Nazir is walking by. But the Gemara asks another question. So fine, Ahei doesn't mean Ahei Betainis. And it is related to the Nazir, because it's at least a Yidayim She'in Mechichas, but it's related to the Nazir because the Nazir is walking by. But V'dim L'Faitre Mi Karbonos of Kama, maybe what the person means to say, yes, Ahei, I shall be what? Oh, there's a Nazir walking by, oh, so it's definitely related to him. But what about him? Who said it's like the Gemara is assuming as the Halacha of the Mishnah, that means to say that I shall be a Nazir just like him? Maybe he's saying that I shall be responsible for his liabilities to bring the karbanis that he has to bring when he's done his naziris. Maybe he's just accepting the responsibility. He's so impressed, admires this nazir. Hey, I shall be responsible for his karbanis. Maybe that's what it means. So then the Gemara answers, no, the kamar baliboy. This person who said hey says that when I said this word, I shall be, in my heart, I was accepting naziris. I just didn't get a chance to finish the word, but at least it was a yad. Although yad she'ein mechiach, but that's enough for us from the drush of Nazir Lahazir to say, oh, you said a partial statement, it was an acceptance of Naziris, and you're explaining that that's what you meant, so that's good enough for us. Now, not the Gemara asks, Ihachim ala memra. So what's the purpose of this halacha? What's the chiddush of saying, ehei, that you consider Nazir, if the guy says that that's what he meant to say? So the Gemara says, no, because now the tema I would have thought to say, be'inon piv v'libay shavim, that we need that his mouth, which is saying I shall be, should be equal to what's in his heart. In other words, as Taisus points out, that we definitely do need piv libay shavim. We need that what he's saying should be reflecting what's in his heart. Because if not, in other words, if his heart and mouth is different, that's actually considered a neder b'tois, a mistaken neder. He said something he didn't mean in his heart. That's actually not a neder. For example, let's say he meant to say meiser. So in his heart he means meiser, but in his mouth he says truma. Or the other way around, regarding fruits in front of him, actually has not said anything. So therefore, we would have thought to say that this person, it's not enough that he says ehei. Because although in his heart, meaning ehei, we don't know that it means he wants to be a nazir, as we asked. Maybe it means he's accepting the responsibility of that person's karbanis. Now, you're saying in his heart that's what he meant? But who said that's enough? The heart, which Liboy is saying, I want to be a nazir, is not necessarily what he's saying in his mouth. We would think that it has to be the same, and he would have to say explicitly what he means to say, ehei nazir, because just saying ehei is not indicative, it's not clear. It could mean that I'm accepting responsibility of the karbanis. Kamash Malon, that's what the chiddush of this halacha is telling us in the Mishnah, that since a nazir is walking in front of him, that is enough considered piv v'libay shavin, by saying I shall be, with a nazir walking by, and in your heart you're thinking that, that's going to be enough. Now, as the Rush explains, but if a Nazir was not walking by, even if he says that, oh, in my heart, when I said, hey, I meant I shall be a Nazir, since that's not indicative because even contextually it's not indicative because there's no nazir walking by. So therefore, that actually would not be considered pivotally b'shavim, because your mouth doesn't tell us anything about you being a nazir, because there's no nazir even walking by. So although you're saying in your heart that's what you meant to say, that's not pivotally b'shavim. But with the nazir walking by, and you say a hey, which that is considered enough of piv telling us, if in your heart you're saying that that's what you meant, that should be considered pivotally b'shavim, and that's the chiddush of the halacha. The Mishnah, again, where as Shmuel explained, a hey doesn't just mean I shall be, it means I shall be with a nazir walking by. And that's enough considered an acceptance of Naziris. Now, the next case of the Yad was Ehei Na. If he says, I shall be beautiful, that's acceptance of Naziris. So now the Gemara asks a similar question. V'dilma Ehna Lafana B'mitzvahs. Maybe when a person says, I shall be beautiful, he says, I should be beautiful in my performance of mitzvahs. And therefore, both points, as the Rashi explained in by Ehei's questions, A, first of all, he definitely should not be a Nazir Vadai, because maybe it means something else. And even Nazir Safik, it shouldn't be. Because as we said, Safik Naziris is Lahakal. Okay, the time, like we learned the Braisa, that it makes sense for a person to say, I should be beautiful in his performance of mitzvahs. As the Pasuk says in Az Yashir, in Shemois, Ze Kei Veyu, this is my God and I shall beautify him. Which means to say, how do you beautify yourself for Hashem? And no lafan of mitzvahs, I shall make myself beautiful in front of him in my performance of mitzvahs, for example. Esel lefon of sukkah na, I shall make in front of him a beautiful sukkah. Lulav na, beautiful lulav. Tzitzis na, beautiful tzitzis. Echtav lefon of sefer Torah na, I shall write a beautiful sefer Torah. Vekarcher na b'shiroi noim, and I shall wrap it in beautiful silks. So we see that making yourself beautiful means in the performance of mitzvahs. Maybe that's what he means when he says, hey na. How do you know it means that he says, I shall be beautiful by being a nazir? So Amar Shmuel says, you're right. There has to be another indicator in the context over here. Shetafis besari. He's holding on to his here, va'om, and he's saying, and no, I shall be beautiful, which is mechiach. That's obviously proving how are you being beautiful through your here, which means to say that you're going to grow your here long and you're going to be a nazir. Now, the Rush points out that the Gemara did not give the same answer it gave regarding a hey, which we already pointed this out in the Mishnah, why the Rush says they mention as two separate halachas. That it doesn't say that, what do you mean? When he says, hey, no, it didn't say because a nazir is walking by, because actually the Rush says that wouldn't work. It's only when you say, hey. Why? Because when you say, hey, I shall be, there, we're not sure with his intention. That's regarding the context. What do you mean you shall be? Do you mean you shall be a nazir or you shall be fasting a tainus? Now, which would mean, I shall be, meaning it's also related to the person's body, that my body will be Misana, will be an affliction, or my body shall be a nazir. Now, once a nazir walks by, so that's obvious from the context that he wants that his body should be like what? Like that nazir. But when you say a hey no, the doubt is not in your intention. The doubt is in the terminology. How do we define what does it mean being beautiful? Does it mean that you want to be beautiful with your hair to grow it long, like the halacha of a nazir? Or does it mean you want to be beautiful in your performance of mitzvahs? Now, with a nazir walking by, that wouldn't prove anything for us in your vernacular, in your terminology, because that's only regarding the context of your intention. But regarding the words, that doesn't reflect to us anything regarding what you mean when you say you want to be beautiful. But when you're holding your hair, that's an indicator for the beauty that you're referring to is in regards to your hair. And that's why the Gemara gives the answer over here regarding holding the hair and not the nazir walking by. Now, moreover, the Rush says, unlike the previous Gemara's answer, which also had to have that the person would say Baliba in his heart, that that's what he meant to say. Here you don't need the person that Shayyama Baliba, that it should say that that's what he meant when he said, hey, no, that I'm going to be beautiful in being a nazir, because it's enough of a proof by holding the here that that's what it means to say that I'm going to be beautiful with the here, which is to be a nazir. But, the Rush says, if he wasn't holding his here, then actually even if he said Baliba, that that's what it meant, actually that wouldn't even be enough, because then you would run into the problem of Pivaliba not shavin, because there wouldn't be any indicator whatsoever when you say Ayana. What do you mean by being beautiful? Do you mean beautiful with your performance of mitzvahs or by being a nazir? And by telling us later that's what you meant wouldn't help, because your mouth didn't reflect what your heart had wanted to say, and therefore it only is if he's holding the hair. And once you're holding the hair, you don't even have to have that you to say that Balibi, that's what I meant to say in the first place. Now, this the Gemara asks, Nazira Milsa de Avera. The performance of acceptings of a Naziris is a sin. V'amrilei na, and regarding that is what the person is how he accepts the Naziris by saying, I'm going to be beautiful. In other words, it's a violation to accept the Naziris. As the Gemara explains in the first Perek Masechet Nedarim, if someone accepts a neder by saying, I want to make the Nedarim a vow, like Nidri Risham, like wicked people, take a Nedarim regarding being a Nazir or a Karban, so that's actually considered a valid acceptance of a neder. But if he says like the Nedarim of upstanding righteous people, he actually has not accepted anything. Why? Because righteous people don't take Nedarim and Naziris. It's not something fit to do. So it's a sin. And you're saying that that could be considered making yourself beautiful? How could doing a sin be considered making oneself beautiful? So that the Gemara says, in yes, Naziris could be something beautiful. Why? Because even Lazar Kaper, who is mentioned in Masechet Nedarim and says that a Nazir is a sinner, that's only regarding someone that's a Nazir that became Tameh. Why? Why would that then make the Nazir into a sinner? Because the Aidi the boy mister, because since this will make him have to start over his count of Naziris again, Dam Rachman, like the Torah says about Midbar, Vayamim Harishayim Yiplu, Ki Tameh Nizrei, the days that he had counted, the first days, have fallen by the wayside because he became Tameh in his Naziris and he has to start counting over again. A Hasam Hud, it's only over there that Rabbi Elazar Kaper considers the Nazir as a sinner. Why? Dilma Asi Lamev Al Nazirusa, because maybe now he's going to violate his Naziris, because now he can't tolerate now. I thought 30 days I could manage. Now I was by day 25 and became Tameh. I got to do over the 25 days? So he's not going to be able to tolerate it. Moreover, he's going to have regret his Naziris, and even the Karban Nazir is going to bring will, like, on some level be considered like bringing a non-carbon, like a chulin to the Azar, because he doesn't even mean to bring these carbon. He didn't even mean to fulfill his Naziris. So that's considered then when we define the Nazir as a sinner. Of a Nazir Tar, but by a pure Nazir who didn't become Tameh, if he didn't assess himself that he could withstand 30 days of not drinking wine and not becoming Tameh and growing his hair, he would not have accepted the Neder of Naziris. So they're balav chayte karbe. We don't call a regular Nazir into a sinner. Someone that thought through it, he realized, look, a regimen of this for 30 days, I can tolerate, and therefore you're not considered a sinner. It is could be considered becoming beautiful, both in the physical sense and even in the spiritual sense. It's just that Rabbi Elazar Kaper, when he calls the Nazir into a sinner, is if he became Tameh. Once a Nazir becomes Tameh, he's going to be considered a sinner according to Rabbi Elazar Kaper. Why? Because now it's the person can't tolerate anymore. He didn't expect this to go on this long. And therefore, he's going to regret the whole thing. His karbanos will be considered on some level like chulin bazara. That's considered a sin. But again, a regular nazir could accept the naziris by saying, I'm going to be beautiful. Where, yes, the nazir who is tahar, who doesn't become tameh, could be considered someone that's beautiful.